Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the committee? So, but this is speaking, I'm sorry, let me just clarify. This is speaking only to, so the, this is speaking only to PCR 6-22. But does it go hand in hand with PCR 7-22? Could you clarify that for me?
Yes, each item is, each PCR is its own bid number, so to speak, but they all fall under one cap. We do this every year.
Yeah.
Just for budgeting purposes and tracking it, it makes it a little bit easier to just count everything because it's all parts, whether it's OEM or various. We put it all under $1 amount.
Got it. Thank you. I just wanted clarification. I know that question came up at one point. Thank you so much. Any questions from the committee?
And just to clarify, thank you, Chairman. Just to clarify, Christy, the details in this, you probably don't see all the mechanics, but we get a bid package every week. This bid is not in this week's bid package, but it was in last meeting's bid package. That's the bid we're referring to, right?
Yes, I had, I was actually out sick for the last meeting. So I had requested to hold it until tonight.
Okay, all right, glad you're back.
Thank you. Glad
you're feeling better. Okay, I was looking for it just to make sure I was on the right page. We reviewed this last time, but ended up holding it. So thank you, that's all the clarification I needed.
Thank you, Councilman. That's a great point, actually, because it did give us the extra 2 weeks to reach out, get the questions. And that's what I did. And that's where my previous question came up, where it was clarification when I had someone reach out to me. So thank you. Any other members of the committee? All right. Members of the council, Councilman Lattisor.
Yes. Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Christy.
Hi.
Christy, right now you're looking for $782,100. What was that number last year?
Off the top of my head, I don't remember. It was roughly the same. I think the difference on this request is literally about $2,000.
Okay. And what did you spend of that, say $780,000 in fiscal year 2021?
So from the inception of the bid last February, so from February 18th, 21 to June 30th, so fiscal year 21, we spent $189,025.36. And then in fiscal year 22, from July 1 until present, we spent $389,148.04 for a gross total of $578,173.40.
So you still have an available balance of about $200,000?
That's the bid cap. It's not necessarily what's in the budget code. They're all used also for other bids with other vendors for other needs, you know, radiators or hydraulic parts or stuff like that. So it's not, this is just because it's so broad, this request we incorporate in it because it falls over two fiscal years as well. So we incorporate the budgeted amount basically.
So what you're saying is it's spending authority up to $782,000.
Correct.
Right. But that's actually what would be appropriated in the budget, right?
Yes.
You have spending authority up to that for 2 years, then you're going to have half of it in this year's budget, half of it in last year's budget or whatever.
So it's a spending authority over a one-year period, regardless of what fiscal year it falls into. It just happens to fall into two different ones, almost half and half.
Yeah. Okay. And in the different line items that you have listed here, 65, 214, 215, 239, 250, 285. What do you have for an available balance of spending authority in each of those items as an amount?
I actually don't. I don't have that number with me, and it is a moving target. Honestly, hour by hour in the automotive division, but I can certainly pull those numbers and send them to you tomorrow morning. I know in 250 we have, I think, approximately $235,000 left.
Okay, well, I don't have a munis report to current date, but I did take the initiative to get a munis report in early December. And in early December, in that item you just spoke about, 65,250, there was still 400,000 available. So you just said it's how much now? 280?
I believe it's probably around 235,000.
All right, so 240,000. So of the 160,000 that has been spent out of that one particular item in the past month, has all of those automotive mechanical parts, have they all been installed or used on equipment, vehicles, et cetera, or is some of those in inventory?
So of that dollar amount that you just spoke of that we've spent since December is not necessarily all on parts specific to these bids. It could also have been spent under other bids for other things. But yes, the majority of the stuff goes into whatever needs repairing. We do keep certain things in inventory that, you know, if we have like an overnight issue, a rescue needs brakes, we have to keep a full set of brake shoes and pads in stock if a rescue comes in and needs brakes. We have to keep, you know, we do have a lot of small items. We have belts, we have clamps, we have nuts and bolts, and, you know, all kinds of ancillary items that we use for auto repairs. But when it comes to the big items, you know, we keep air cans in stock because a lot of our vehicles use them. But for the most part, it's just like oil filters, air filters, that kind of stuff that we stock. We keep very little of the big items on the shelf. Just because, one, we don't have the room to keep parts for every single vehicle that we could possibly need. And two, it doesn't make sense. You know, even today, our automotive chief was looking for a solenoid for a starter instead of buying a whole new starter. So we pinch pennies. There's no question about that. It's just been a rough year, as you know, with vehicles for us.
Right. Yeah, sure has. And Christy, so in our bid package from last meeting, you listed, you know, the vendors that you were looking to approve, which essentially is all of them. Has that changed at all? Or are you still looking for the same amount of vendors, those same vendors as you had at the last in our pack at the last meeting?
I haven't changed anything. Everything that we've requested stands.
Okay. And as you know, I have had strong objections to that type of policy in the past. But certainly we can't object to it now. You got to have flexibility, you know, with these pots and these vendors. It just, let's put it this way, since the last meeting, it hasn't gotten any better trying to get anything of pots, materials, equipment, anything. It's just torture, and the price is not getting any better either. All right, Christy, thank you. That answers my questions on that.
Welcome.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions for members of the council? Questions for PCR 6-22, members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Members of the public? Hearing none, may I have a motion?
Favorable action.
Second.
I have a motion for favorable. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item number four. PCR 7-22, same situation. Chrissy, go ahead, and if you want to just go a quick description.
These are vendors that we would like to add to the the bid as well for OEM parts. These are vendors that have proprietary items for a lot of the stuff that we have in our fleet. So that's the reason that we're requesting to add all of these vendors. That way we have the ability, hopefully, to get what we need when we need it.
Completely understood. I think the Councilman Lattice have perfectly explained that it's not looking, you know, even from the last meeting, it's not looking any better any soon. And the future is also, you know, some of the same strife. So thank you. Questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the council on PCR 7-22? Questions from members of the public on PCR 7-22? Thank you. Hearing none, I have a motion.
Favorable action.
Second.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you, Christy. Item number 5 is PCR 8-22, various replacement automotive parts. Christy?
This is, again, shares the same cap with the last two bids that were presented, $782,100. This is for replacement parts. So these are the aftermarket parts that we purchase when we don't need to get an OEM. However, we're requesting to award all 10 because lately it's been, you know, who has what. We're chasing stuff down and, you know, different vendors. So it's been hard.
Yeah, I understand. Thank you. Questions from members of the council committee. I apologize. Committee. Thank you. And questions from members of the council. Councilman Lattisor.
Yes, Chairman, I need to. I don't know if I'm missing something or not. I've been listening to the sequential order that you're speaking to, and this one you just referred to as number 5. I have it as number 4 in my book, and the one prior you said 4, and I have it in 3. I just want to make sure I'm not missing something here. The first item I have in unfinished business is PCR 15721.
I have PCR 15721 is actually number 2 on mine, because on number 1 it would be PCR 14-22, resolution relative to bids. That should be number 1.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then we go in order.
The council agenda rather than the committee's agenda. The numbering would be off by 1.
Okay.
I apologize. I was not aware.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something.
Thank you. I wasn't aware it was off by 1. So from now on, I'll just do the PCR. I didn't mean to cause confusion. Thank you, Councilman.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the council on PCR 8-21? Questions from members of the public on PCR 8-21. Questions from the public.
22.
Correction. I apologize. PCR 8-22. Members of the council. Members of the public. PCR 8-22. Various replacement auto part. Members of the public. Hearing none, may I have a motion?
Favorable action.
Second.
I have a motion for favorable. I have a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all. PCR, next is PCR 9-22. Same, Chrissy?
It is the same. It's just another vendor that we would like to add. Cummins sales and service. We have a lot of Cummins engines, particularly in our garbage trucks and some of the fire apparatus. So we haven't heard of this vendor before, but we're more than happy to give them a shot and see what they have for stock and availability and keeping us going.
Understood, especially with the challenges. Okay, so this is PCR 9-22. Questions from the committee. Questions from the council. Councilman Lattisor. Councilman, you're muted.
That's very unusual. But Chris, you just reminded me of something. I've been wanting to call, and I just keep forgetting. You mentioned the garbage trucks. Have you received the 3 new vehicles yet?
We've received one.
You received one of them?
Yes.
And when do you think you're going to get the other 2?
We should be getting one, I think, within the next couple of weeks. And then again, the vendor that is doing the build on them, not the cab and chassis, but the body side, is had to wait for the pistons come in. So it's everywhere. We had fixed a fire truck one time. We sent it out to be fixed. The vendor couldn't get a turbo for it. They couldn't get their own part. We had searched the country and our automotive chief found one in Texas.
Wow.
So it's been tough.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. I apologize. Go ahead.
No, I'm all set. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for members of the council? Members of the public, any questions or comments on PCR 9-22? Members of the public. Thank you. May I have a motion?
Favorable action.
Second.
I have a motion for favorable. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christy. Next is PCR 10-22, formerly bid 2022-261, fertilizer, liquid weed control, and lime.
Excuse me. Sorry.
So soon, Christy?
Just kidding. I'm not done.
You have it.
The department requests to award this bid to, bear with me one second. Site One Supply, Landscape Supply, and Noble Turf in the amount of $10,000 for 1 year period, expiring March 4th, 2023.
Thank you, Christy. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on PCR 10-22? Any questions on members of the public? Hearing none, may I have a motion?
Favorable action.
Second.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. The time is 6:14 p.m. and the Finance Committee is concluded and closed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee to meet will be the Ordinance Committee. And I believe that is available to start at this time. I'm getting the nod from the council solicitor. So, Chairman Sinapi.
How's everyone doing? All committee members ready? Got the nod from Councilman Ricks. Is Councilman McElroy? So first up, we have acceptance of minutes from committee meeting held on January 3rd, 2022. Do we have a motion?
Favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded for favorable action. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have PCO 1-22, an ordinance requiring property owners or operators to timely notify and deliver documents to the city when they contract with the state in a manner that violates municipal zoning. This one's for me. So as everyone likely is well aware, there's been an issue at the Nilo Hotel in my ward for some months now, and it's not the first time this has happened, where the state has contracted with an entity to house individuals who are basically down on their luck, homeless, who need a place to stay for a temporary period of time. And in this case, for this contract, their goal is to get them long-term care elsewhere, long-term shelter elsewhere, to be clear, rather. Unfortunately, it has not gone well for the perspective of the community and the neighbors. I could go on at great length as to what they've had to endure, but the short answer and the very general answer is that it's not good, to put it very lightly. This will help address that, not just, this will help address that at least in a minor way, because we can't do much from the municipal level based on talking with Solicitor Walsh. We are very much kind of hamstrung given that it's the state that's involved and it's the state that's contracting. So what little we can do is at least require them to let us know when they're going to do this, because for this contract and for this arrangement, we had no idea until after the fact and things started happening. Did we suddenly find out about the arrangement, even though we had been expecting to find out long before, given what happened on a prior occasion? So what little we can do, I'd like to do. And I see Council President's hand is up, but I want to make sure I get committee members. Do committee members have anything they wish to ask or comment?
I'll just briefly comment that I have a general understanding of what is happening in this situation. Just hearing about it from some other folks and also from reports in the media. And I do think that this ordinance is measured and proper. I'd like to thank our City Council solicitor for figuring out what we can do here. That's all. Thank you.
And to be clear, while there are significant issues like needles being found, harassment, et cetera, it's not necessarily those being housed at the NILO. It's not necessarily not either, but it's not fair to say all the issues are originating from those individuals. But it is fair to say that as a result of the arrangement with NILO, Crossroads, and the state, there are many, 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 many more issues than are ever present in that neighborhood. And the logs for the police and the fire show that. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on this this ordinance. I think this affects the entire city. Councilman Sinapi drafted this because of a situation that is happening in his neighborhood, but this could happen to anywhere. And all this is calling for is that these private entities that are getting these contracts notify the city. The city then can come up with a plan, whether we need to know that we're going to have more, police presence there, if we're going to need to have, whatever the services are. If the city of Warwick is told beforehand, we can come up with it with a strategy. We can come up with a plan. So I think that's the minimum that we should get as a courtesy, as the host of any type of situation coming on. So this is not just a situation that is unique to one particular thing. This is just identifying if a big contract is coming in from the state with a Warwick company to give notification to the city of Warwick. That's all. We can't tell the state you can't come in or anything like that, but we would like to be notified. Therefore, then we can come up with a plan if we're going to need to allocate some resources or just be aware of the situation. It's always good to know what's going on in your city. So I think this is a very measured ordinance. I don't think it's targeting any one particular thing. I think this will be a benefit to the city of Warwick. Again, we're just looking to be notified so we understand what's going on in our backyards so we can keep our constituents updated so we know what's going on. And if you can get ahead of things, even the better. So I just want to thank Chairman Sinapi. He's done a lot of work on this. He's made a lot of phone calls. He's talked to a lot of people, neighborhood meetings, and his hands are tied and he's trying to do the best he can. And I think this is something, and when we pass things and work on things at the city council, this is for the entire city. So this is not just something that's going to affect one area. This will be a benefit. Again, it is just a simple, almost a courtesy. Let us know what's going on in our backyard. So I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, to the council president's point, this does benefit all parties because once issues started happening in the area, things were communicated to Crossroads and they actually took steps to help mitigate, steps that will actually benefit those people who are utilizing their services. So it's not like this is just, oh, it helps Warwick or helps our citizens and we'll call it a day. This helps everyone. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I definitely agree with the president. I think this is great legislation. I want to thank you for doing it because I don't think any council person would want something dumped like this in our ward without us knowing about it and seeing the impact that's going to have in our wards. Now, I know the state's involved, but isn't there like a zoning violation with a nonprofit coming into that that area? Is there any way that way we can look into it?
So that's actually why we worded it the way we did, because even members of the community brought that up, and they're right as far as this is a hotel supposed to be operating as a hotel, and now it's being transformed into something very different. Unfortunately, I was informed by the city solicitor that the governor's powers in these situations with COVID, the emergency order, he can do it. He can unilaterally put this upon the cities. So at the very least, we can at least have our tiny bit of hope really is getting noticed, at least on the municipal level, because that my purpose would have been to actually have a bit more say in this, not just get notice, but.
And at least warn the community a little bit too, you know, so because I know a lot of people over there and they were like shocked to have this just come up, and there they are dealing with this whole problem. But thank you for the efforts that you put in. I think you did a great job.
Thank you. And Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to start off by first asking for your permission to be put on here as a co-sponsor with you. I think this was a really, really good effort on your part, and I support it completely. I certainly haven't been known to sugarcoat things, and I'm not about to start sugarcoating anything now. You already clarified one question for me. My question was, what gives the state, the governor, the right to just arbitrarily dismiss the administration and the legislative branch, the executive branch and the legislative branch of the city of Warwick, and just arbitrarily dismiss our zoning ordinances and do this? But you've answered that question. Apparently, the city solicitor has looked into it, and under this emergency status defense, it could be done. I think it is just unconscionable to me that such an action, and set aside what the business, the building is being utilized for. That's not about what this issue is. It's about what has been said. This could be anything in any of our wards. And it's just arbitrarily dumped in the city of Warwick. This is what you're going to do. And not even the courtesy of reaching out to the mayor. The other question I have is, so in this particular case, there's been obviously, there's been expenses associated here. There's police, certainly, I'm sure, has been involved, perhaps fire, perhaps rescue, maybe some DPW stuff. So did the state offer to pay for our additional expenses? These are expenses the taxpayers have to incur. Were they kind enough, or was the executive branch kind enough to offer to compensate us for this? That's a question. Does anyone know?
So not to my knowledge. And to be fair, as far as the cost goes, at least some of it will be paid out by insurers when it comes to the fire runs. Although if there is no insurance, I'm not sure if it's collectible, which at which point we likely would be eating the cost. And when it comes to police, are we paying extra? Not necessarily, but your point is still well taken as far as these are resources that could be one place and instead they're in another and at a higher rate than ever.
And a perfect example, Mr. Chair, is last Friday evening. So we had a significant issue in our own home. in our own police station, right? And then we had to compound it. We had another issue within a matter of hours at another place in the city where those two spots basically involved our entire police department. So yeah, it is putting a burden on our city. It's putting a burden or an additional, a potential additional need for, and in some cases, staff we don't have. Fire department is, I mean, the police department is down by, you know, a certain amount of officers. This is like just bizarre to me that the courtesy wasn't extended to the mayor of the second largest city. And I know second largest could be disputed. I still believe it's the second largest city in the state, that the mayor and the city council wasn't afforded the courtesy of an advance notice. And Mr. Chairman, it could have been my ward. It could have been any of our wards that it happened in. It happened to happen in your ward. And again, you know, we don't always see eye to eye in everything, but kudos to you for taking up this issue. And as I said, I would like to be added as a co-sponsor to this. Thank you.
Much appreciated. And of course, you're welcome to be added as a co-sponsor. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to request also to be added as a co-sponsor, as I couldn't agree more. The courtesy, the right thing to do and the courteous thing to do is to communicate with the city that is going to be prepared to utilize the resources to handle anything, whether it be at the airport, within the community, or even in a residential commercial zone. Communicate it with the city. Thank you so much. And I do respectfully request to be added as a co-sponsor.
Of course, and gladly accept it. And it is scary when you think about this, when just imagine we don't have a pandemic going on. It's not really hard to think of all the other times the governor can just say, well, now I'm going to have this property that's currently zoned this. It's going to be something else now because I said so, or the legislature can do the same. And it's kind of scary that it could be taken to such extremes, but it's not that difficult, surprisingly. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. So I have two questions. This was instituted by the governor. Which one? Governor Raimondo or Governor McKee?
So it's my understanding that it's Governor McKee, but that is a good point. I'm not 100% fairly certain McKee, but I'd like to check. The contract started this year. Oh, sorry, I forgot it's 2022 now. Started in 2021.
So it could have been Raimondo on her way out the door doing Warwick a favor. That's A, and neither here nor there. Either way, I don't agree with the action. The other question is this a partner to, a sister to the resolution that we'll be hearing later on?
You're absolutely correct.
I do request if you would kindly add me as a co-sponsor to this.
Of course, absolutely. Councilman Gebhardt.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to concur with all my colleagues here. You know, often things don't happen quickly in government and in municipal government, but I think you've been very responsive to your constituents. I especially wanted to say something because, you know, I've heard from a number of folks who live over there and you know, they're understandably frustrated with how things are going. And you know, any responsiveness and anything we can do to help make sure, as everyone said, that we at least are informed and can do our best to prepare neighbors and residents if, you know, there is an emergency situation and something needs to happen. At least, you know, I feel like this new administration and this new council, we do a pretty good job of trying to get communication out there and trying to, you know, involve the community in things that are happening. And when stuff happens and no one's informed, nobody knows what's happening, it's frustrating. And we all lose a little bit of trust. And this is all about building trust. So I would be more than happy if you'd have me as a co-sponsor. And I just want to say thank you for the work you've done here.
much appreciated. And of course, you're welcome as a co-sponsor. Councilwoman Travis?
I also like to be added as a co-sponsor, Mr. Chairman.
Of course. Council President? It looks like it. All right, same thing. Councilman McElroy?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
And Councilman Ricks, based on the hand. All righty. And just so everyone's aware, we're not talking about a few neighbors got frustrated. This is what seems to be basically the whole neighborhood surrounding businesses. And there are issues pretty much on a daily basis. I follow them with a group they've set up, and I see daily the things that occur, fire and police going down. It's more, it would be unusual if fire and police didn't go on any given day at this point. That would be more surprising than if they did go. And that is the point in which we have hit. And Councilman Lattiser?
You know, Mr. Chair, the more we discuss this, the more outrageous, you know, it actually appears to be. Because so what this did was it puts all of us, including the administration, it puts us in a position where we don't have an answer. We're the elected officials here in the city of Warwick. It's our job to, you know, together as a team to look out for the city, to run the city. And here we are, just without rhyme or reason, we are put in a position, all of us, the 9 members of the city council and the administration, we're put in a position where we start to get calls and we have to give an answer that I don't know. I never heard of it. I have no idea what you're talking about. This is something that could happen with, I could sit here and think of a half a dozen items that something like this could happen. And, you know, quite honestly, I'm really getting tired of, you know, the excuse always being, well, it's okay because, you know, we're doing it at this pandemic. It gives me the right to do it. I'm kind of like really, I'm all done with hearing all that stuff. You know what, the time is, it's time to turn the corner here. But again, it's just, it's a very alarming situation, I think, at best. Thank you, Chairman.
And your point's well taken as far as we're left trying to answer questions that we can't, because I know at least some of the residents were convinced that the city was in on it. We were getting kickbacks and whatnot, because how could you not know about something like this? Like, you know what? You're not wrong. This is ridiculous. How could we not? But we didn't.
Well, just listen to the tape from one of the previous meetings, right? We got hammered. It had nothing to do with us. It wasn't our fault. But yet nobody came down from uptown to come to that council meeting and explain the situation. We took the heat. The executive branch and the legislative branch took the heat, and we had no knowledge of it whatsoever.
And no ability to do anything about it.
Exactly, except I don't know. You know what, Mr. Chairman, we better move on, because this could continue. We could be on this topic for a long time tonight. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from members of the public? I see at least one hand up. Looks like a phone, Phil.
I apologize. I'm coming in late to the committee meeting, but I did read this ordinance. And I'm wondering if the 3% of the total project dollar amount is still involved with this version of the ordinance.
Hi, Ms. Walsh. What you're referring to is the resolution to the General Assembly, which contains a proposed legislation that includes the 3%. This, what we're talking about now, is the ordinance, which doesn't go as far as the proposed legislation to the General Assembly, because it would be illegal. So we're only allowed here as an ordinance to require property owners or operators to provide notice to the city when they're going to be entering an arrangement that involves, among other things, violating the Warwick zoning ordinances.
Is there any way you could add a fee for service in this particular resolution?
I'm fairly certain the answer is no, for the same reason we couldn't.
So do just
further, because it would be frustration of contract. But Solicitor Walsh,
Just to intervene here, we are unfortunately not on the resolution. That item will be before the Intergovernmental Committee coming up, that as it follows. This is the Ordinance Committee, and it only pertains to the resolution regarding notice. So two separate items. We're on the first one. The second one will be coming shortly hereafter before the other committee.
All right. Sorry about that.
It's all right. No worries. Do any other members of the public have any questions or comments? I see Pete Souza has his hand up, or Peter, rather.
Yes. Hi, Councilman. How are you?
Good. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Just for the other councilmen, council people know, I was just elected as president of the Pontiac Village Association. And this issue has been brought to the forefront of the whole community. The whole community is in uproar about the contract with Nilo and how it's been brought forward by the Crossroads president and their responses to try to appease the community by making these very shallow concessions. You have the paperwork in front of you, I believe, about the number of calls of police and fire. Just recently, the number of calls by the police department for the past month, I think it's been like 47 with 4 arrests over there. It's just been, like I said, a drain on city services without any repayment by the state. And we just need to do something about it.
Muted myself. It should be noted too that at the community meeting when this was first discussed, Crossroads was in attendance and they actually accused the community of fear-mongering when they brought up their concerns about the arrangement. And to the community's credit, it wasn't actually fear-mongering. They were referring back to the time prior when this arrangement occurred and it was a nightmare. And they were voicing, well, what if it happens again? What are you going to do? And after being accused of these things, everything they feared played out almost to a T. So the community, in addition to having to suffer the consequences of this arrangement, they also have been ridiculed and demonized for sharing what has been happening to them and protesting that fact. So it just adds insult to injury, to put it lightly. And are there any other members of the public who wish to speak? All right, seeing none, do we have a motion?
Request favorable
action.
Action. Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unless I'm mistaken, I believe that is the extent of the agenda for ordinance as of 6:40 p.m.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The next committee will be the Intergovernmental Committee, and that is available to start at Chairman McElroy's pleasure.
Anthony, you staying on?
You're stuck with me.
Okay, it is now 6:40 and the Intergovernmental Committee is now in session. The first order of business is the acceptance of minutes from the meeting held on November 15th, 2021.
Move favorable action regarding the minutes.
Second.
I have a motion, I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the first item on the agenda is PCR 149-21, a resolution requesting the General Assembly enact legislation providing municipal property tax relief by appropriating at least 10% of additional state gambling revenues in excess of fiscal year 2019 levels to municipalities as supplemental education aid Councilman Foley.
Thank you. This is a resolution that's a long time coming. As a lot of people know, 20 years ago, I was fortunate enough to be the Ward 6 councilman for a brief tenure. And I was contemplating this resolution back then, but sadly 9/11 happened and that put a kibosh on a lot of things. And then the pandemic took place. And once again, a kibosh was put on this type of resolution. But the more I thought about it, two issues that interest or affect people the most, A, property taxes, and B, funding of public education. As a 40-year teacher, 30 years in the state of Rhode Island as a public school teacher, fair and equitable school funding has always been an issue. This resolution is my attempt to get a conversation going to maybe solve or at least alleviate both problems. What I'm asking is, let's not take any revenues out of the revenue source that we're relying on. It's saying let's benchmark 2019. So whatever comes from the lottery in fiscal 2019 is our benchmark. Any increase over that, at least 10% of that increase should go to property tax relief and should be earmarked for public education. I don't know how any legislator could argue against that, because we're not taking revenues that you're counting on. How can you count on an increase? But the increased money, as opposed to just going into the general fund and being dispersed, as being kind, it could be earmarked to give the town, cities and towns, the property tax people. And I when I walked the ward in this campaign to be the Ward 1 city councilor, that was an issue I heard almost at every doorstop. Property taxes, that people are being taxed out of their homes. Now, we've been fortunate. Last year, we passed no tax increase. This council, as we now sit, the council before us, no tax increase. Let's hope we can do that again this year. But I don't have a crystal ball. But going forward, you cannot anticipate that ad infinitum, we're never going to have tax increases again. This would be a way to help, at least in some small part, to alleviate the burden on the property tax base. That's A. B, my last point is this. It's a misnomer or misinformation that when they started the lottery back in the 1970s, that the initial purpose was to go to property tax relief. Did my research. A great state legislator, Harold Metz, when we increased the lottery to include the quote casinos that we now have, he brought that point forward, and there was no record of that ever being actually stated anywhere. But legislator Metz tried to enact something back when they expanded the lottery, and it never went anywhere. I wanted to just make sure I gave him credit for having an idea similar to this. But he wanted all of that revenue to go toward it. I'm earmarking increase above the benchmark and only a small portion to start, and then let's increase it. Thank you for letting me speak. I'm done.
Thank you very much, Councilman. Any other comments or questions from the committee?
I wanted to point out this is well-timed given the upcoming reevaluation to be all the more important.
Very good. Any other questions or comments from the council? Questions or comments from the public? Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank Councilman Foley for bringing this forward. I think this is an excellent idea. He had spoke to me about this early on when he was elected. This is something that he wanted to do. You heard that he's done a lot of research on this, talking to a lot of people, talking to our solicitor. Here's his goal. He's trying to find property tax relief for the taxpayers of the city of Warwick and direct that money to our education system. I think that is a great goal. And I am proud that he brought this. I think this is a creative way of doing it. You know, if we went up to the state house and said we want X amount of money and take it from wherever and send it to us, it's never going to go anywhere. But this is a creative piece of legislation that he's proposing. He is saying, listen, here's a benchmark. Anything above that benchmark going forward, you haven't budgeted it yet because you don't know what that number is. So why don't you send that to the municipalities, not just the city of Warwick, to all the municipalities, and it's going to go directly for helping the taxpayers, the property taxpayers, which pays for our school system. So I think it's an excellent plan. I really appreciate your leadership on this, Councilman Foley, and I would love to be added as a co-sponsor if you have me. Thank you. That was a thumbs up for the record there.
Thumbs up for the record, yes.
Thank
you. Councilman Ricks?
Yeah, if I could also be added as a co-sponsor. Thank you.
Another thumbs up.
Councilman Lassiter?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Councilman Foley, do you have any a rough idea as to what that number could be in terms of the appropriation?
I gave the numbers to Solicitor Walsh, and I had numbers from, I think, 2018, 2019, and 2020, and I used the 2019 because that was sort of pre-COVID, and last year, obviously, with the COVID, it dropped. But all the numbers are in the resolution, Councilman Lattiser.
So if you look to line 3536, in November this past year, the state's revenue estimating conference made its projections for the current receipts expected during this fiscal year, the current fiscal 22, and they increased their projection by $17 million to $393 million. And the point of that for the resolution is it's very close to the pre-COVID peak of $398 million. So the idea being that this would be a timely opportunity to start getting a percentage of anything above that roughly $400 million benchmark that could be used.
But we're talking about a 10% increase over the fiscal year 2019 levels.
Correct. The point of that is that the current budget projections show that we are very close to restoring to that benchmark, meaning that the future dollars that go above that benchmark would be the growth that we are requesting to be shared.
So the growth of fiscal year 2019, whatever millions of dollars that was at that time, any increase from that time to current day would be where the 10% formula would be applied to.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, got it. Okay. Congressman, if I could, I'd like to be added as a sponsor to this as well.
Fine. If I can, just a point of clarification also. My thought behind this is, if you saw what happened with the car tax, they tried to get that gone away with. I'm just searching for words here. And the problem was they had to find revenue to replace that. This is saying you're not going to have to go find revenue. It's an increase. So it's the union president in me. I'm taking away objections before we go with the negotiations. I can figure out what they're going to object to, and I've tried to take that objection away. You don't have to go find a way to replace the revenue. It's future revenue that you can't possibly be planning.
That's good.
All set. Councilman Foley, I would also like to be added as a sponsor.
Perfect. Thank you.
Likewise.
Any other questions from the council? Councilman Travis?
Yes, I also would like to be added on. Councilman
Bowen? With pleasure. With pleasure.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the public?
Councilman Mack, Chairman, if I may.
Yes.
I just want to echo what Council President and others have said in regards to this. I think this is a a good creative idea. You know, if you look at some of the host communities where the casino properties have gone in, the revenue share off of those revenues have done great things for their for their school departments as well as other you know, parts of their municipalities. So I think this kind of follows in that same pattern, and you know, especially with sports books coming online and the expansion of other gaming programs, you know, this this definitely sounds good. Hopefully we can get some movement on it. Feels like the kind of thing we should all be behind. So I am more than happy to sign on as a co-sponsor if you'd have me.
With pleasure, sir.
Anyone else from the council?
Council, Chairman?
Yes, Councilman.
I'm so sorry. I meant to jump on earlier, but I was having a little bit of technical difficulty. I'd like to be, with the permission of the sponsor, I'd like to be added as a co-sponsor, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, with pleasure. I'd just like to say I'm very moved by the entire council wanting to be added on. I really appreciate the support. And thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions or comments from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
I move favorable action.
Second.
Hearing a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
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 The second item on the agenda is PCR 13-22, a resolution requesting the General Assembly enact legislation requiring municipal notice and opportunity to join as a third-party beneficiary to contracts between the state and property owners or operators that use a property in violation of municipal zoning. Councilman Sinapi.
So as was correctly noted by a few of you, this is related to the proposed ordinance. The difference being that because we're asking the General Assembly to do something, the reach can be a little bit further. So rather than just provide notice, we also can request for a percentage of the value of the contract. That way we can help offset the city services that are shifted, and also so that we can kind of lessen the impact to the community as a whole. I would have preferred further, just like with the ordinance, but again, this, we less have to worry about unlawful and more have to worry about ability to pass. So the solicitor felt this gave us better odds to pass by being the way it is. And I'm more concerned with getting something in there than getting the best possible thing, especially if the best possible thing isn't going to work. The General Assembly level. I do like our odds, given that this helps every community, not just us. This isn't an ordinance, or rather a proposed law that only benefits Warwick. This will benefit everybody. So I'm hoping that the General Assembly will be keen on that fact, considering they represent their municipalities.
Okay. Any questions from the committee?
Yes, Councilman Sinapi, could I be added on as a co-sponsor, please?
Of course.
Any other, Council President McAllister?
Thank you. Again, I just want to thank Councilman Sinapi for his due diligence on this. Again, he's taking every step that he can. And we are limited in what we can do, but he's working it from multiple angles. And I just want to commend him for this. And I support this legislation and would like to be added as a co-sponsor.
Okay. Councilman Lattiser?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to be added as a co-sponsor if possible as well. Thank you.
Councilwoman Travis?
I also like to be added on it. I think Councilman Sinopi is crossing all his T's and dotting his I's to try to get this from every angle, and I definitely support it fully. Thank you.
I would also like to be added as a sponsor. Any other questions or comments from the council? Councilman Gebhardt?
Yeah, I'd like to be added as a sponsor. And I think, especially on this one, another action that each of us can take is, you know, obviously we all have different representatives in that cover our different wards. And I think this is a good opportunity to reach out to them beyond just this resolution, but also to place a phone call and remind them of the importance of this. And, you know, they're not always as tied into the day-to-day issues impacting inside the city and, you know, in municipal departments and the impact it has. They'll certainly hear it when they start walking around, especially in the neighborhood over there. Because as I said, I mean, it's not my area, but I've had several calls from folks that live over that way. So just another thing that we can do, you know, we can all co-sponsor this. A good show of solidarity is helpful, but I think picking up the phone and contacting the representative in your area is another, you know, possibly even more meaningful way to apply some pressure on this to help, you know, both Ward 8, but also the city as a whole. So thank you all. And if I didn't say it before, I would definitely like to be added as a co-sponsor.
Any other questions or comments from the council?
Chairman, if I may, I'd also like to be added as a co-sponsor. I think that it does send a powerful message when the General Assembly sees that not only does, presumably considering the content of the discussion here, this matter be passed by unanimous vote, but also that all nine of us sign our names to it as co-sponsors in support. And I think that Councilman Gebhardt said it well too, that we need to not just sign our names, but also make those phone calls to see what we can all do to make this happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Hey, we actually have one hand raised.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, my name is Raul Palacios. I'm a neighbor here at the Nilo. And I'd like to like speak a little bit. I originally moved here from out of state. And my fiance and I, we looked at places from Providence all the way to EG. And we ended up moving to the Pontiac Mills. And we really liked our home. And it's been madness for over the last month. We have all these different characters walking around day and night. They stockpile shopping carts out on the street. Our building has to have security 24 hours a day. A bunch of people are just... stand outside smoking cigarettes. I'm a family guy. I have a son also. And I have concerns for my family with, you know, the type, this is a neighborhood community. So like, I'm not against doing public service and having people like that having social services, but this isn't the place for it. And I just thought, I thought it was crazy how a hotel would just try to just stick this under the nose of the neighbors and the public and just force all these neighbors just have to live with this. It's pretty, I think it's absurd. And I've never seen anything like it. So that's pretty much what I have to say.
Thank you very much. I just want to let you know, we are addressing the situation as best we can. And you have the best advocate you could have in the city in Councilman Anthony Sinopi. So he is a big advocate on your behalf. Are there any other questions or comments from the public?
Thank you.
I have something quick, Councilman McElroy.
Yes, Councilman Sanapi.
I didn't mention this during the ordinance discussion because it wasn't pertinent, but part of the reason why we are requesting to be a signatory for when these things happen, when these arrangements are proposed, is twofold. One, so that there's a breach of the contract, we actually have the right and ability to enforce without having to have any of the obligations of the contract. So, because already right now, arguably breaches may have occurred, but we can't do anything except watch. And also because, let's say the state came in and said, hey, we're going to do such and such at this location. You know, you want to be a signatory to the contract, or third party beneficiary rather, we could actually have some input and say, well, you know, yes, if you have it there, but just so you know, there's actually better locations here, here, and here. Something that they actually have a conversation about it rather than that ham-handed approach where they just pick a spot that they think is good based on where they're looking from, kind of the macro in the sky view, as opposed to us, we're actually in the city and have more in-depth awareness of what's going on and what would be appropriate. So again, this is an example of something that'll actually help the state and help those that are utilizing these services. It won't just benefit Warwick or any other municipality.
You're on mute, Councilman McElroy. Okay.
All set, Councilman?
Yep.
All right, do we have any comments from the public? Here and none, do I hear a motion?
Favorable action. Seconded.
Having a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, I believe that ends the Intergovernmental Committee at 7:03 p.m.
Thank you very much, Chairman McElroy. I'm just going to give the solicitor and the clerk a minute to get ready, and then we're going to call the full City Council meeting to order.